Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, June 3rd, 2021. A top UN diplomat in South Sudan says intercommunal violence and the slow implementation of the 2018 peace agreement threatens stability in the country.
There is much to be done in the interests of advancing that peace. Courageous decisions need to be made, including the unification of security forces.
And South Sudanese athletic team preparing for Olympics in Japan say the food they eat is not good.
Right now, we have a very good track that we are training on. We have the trainers. That is the only thing we lack now yet is supplements that athletes normally have.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A top UN diplomat in South Sudan says the continuous intercommunal violence in parts of the country and the slow implementation of the 2018 peace deal threatens stability across South Sudan. For VOA News, Wakil Simon Udu reports from Juba.
In his first news conference since becoming the army's boss last month, Nicholas Haysama told the reporters in Juba Today that although some important progress has been made by the parties to implement the peace deal, like forming a unity government and building trust with the former rebels, peace across South Sudan is fragile.
There is much to be done in the interests of advancing that peace. Courageous decisions need to be made, including the unification of security forces. I urge the people and leaders of South Sudan to breathe fresh life into the peace process and fully implement the agreement, including by finalizing the constitution and eventually holding elections.
Haysama says the actors may have changed, but violence continues in South Sudan.
I think we're conscious that even though some of the intensity of the political conflict of 2 or 3 years has diminished, it's been more than replaced by the intercommunal conflict that we see spreading across the country. And really we have to offer the citizens of South Sudan a safer place to return to. If they don't have in our discussions with returnees and IDPs, the biggest single barrier to their return is the insecurity they feel because of the prevalence of violence, which includes also the prevalence of firearms throughout the country.
Haysama says continued intercommunal fighting in several parts of the country, such as in Pibor, Lex and Warap states, is a worrying trend. He says the government must take concrete steps to address the situation without elaborating on what those steps should be. He says fighting in the greater Pibor area must also be addressed.
We all share deep concern over the violence between community-based militias that is escalated in the greater Pibor administrative area. While recognizing that there has lately been some improvements in security in Pibor, it's important that the government of South Sudan takes concrete steps to address the root causes of the conflict.
Haysama says he cannot point fingers at who started the fighting in Pibor or what has caused the violence. He says the major task now is for the stakeholders to end the violence once for all. A human rights report released by UNMISS in June last year says 658 people were killed in South Sudan between January and March of last year. It said most of the deaths were a result of communal violence between various communities in the country. The report said there was increasing violence in the country during that period of time. Haysama began serving as a special representative of the Secretary General in South Sudan 6 weeks ago. He is currently engaged in visiting all 10 states in an effort to understand how UNMISS could best support the peace process. During his recent engagements with citizens, Haysama says the messages he got are all focused on the call for hope, improved infrastructure, and the need to support grassroots efforts in reconciliation and peace.
Without peace, meaningful infrastructural development cannot take place. Without peace, displaced families cannot return home. without real and lasting peace, progress in almost every aspect of South Sudan's social, economic, and political life is impossible. Real peace will give South Sudan's citizens the ability to determine their future.
Haysom says he wants to see UNMISS support the implementation of the peace agreement by providing technical assistance to build the capacity of local institutions, reform the security and justice sector, and to progress important elements of the peace process, such as the constitution making and ultimately free and fair elections. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wodu in Juba.
The head of the South Sudan Red Cross says his agency has suspended its activities in Torit following an attack on 8 of its staff members on Monday. The agency's secretary general says the South Sudan Red Cross will only resume activities when local authorities guarantee the safety of aid workers in eastern Equatorial State. For VOA News, Winnie Chirino reports from Juba.
John Labar, Secretary General of South Sudan Red Cross, said Thursday the Red Cross has been mobilizing communities in Torit to donate blood to save the lives of patients who need it, but that activity will stop due to recent attacks on their employees.
In Torit, we have a blood donation program whereby we have volunteers who mobilize the communities to be able to donate blood voluntarily. And you know, blood is key and very important for the hospitals to be able to function and provide blood for people, particularly that are anemic and would like to have blood. So, of course, that will be affected. Activities in terms of reunification of people that are separated as a result of the conflicts, these activities have already ceased to be provided.
Labar says the Red Cross has also been working to improve nutrition and access to health care, water and sanitation.
Depending on how we can get assurances from the authorities, but also from the communities, that will be safe for us to be able to continue our work. So we hope this problem will be resolved soon. I don't think that we will be ready to operate in a very unsafe environment whereby the safety of our staff and volunteers cannot be guaranteed.
Nicholas Haysom, Special Representative of the UN Secretary General in South Sudan, says it's important for people to understand that South Sudan heavily depends on aid and that $1 billion is brought to South Sudan every year to feed its people.
What I would say is that these threats on humanitarians is very counterproductive. Humanitarians are now withdrawing from Torit. Who are the losers? The losers are largely the young people who are the beneficiaries of a lot of the humanitarian service.
Alejandro Letoc, press secretary in the office of Eastern Equatorial State Governor Luis Labong, says the governor is aware of recent attacks on humanitarian workers in Torit. He says Labong formed a committee last month to work with the UN agencies and other NGOs to investigate the concerns previously raised by the Monyo Miji young people in Torit, including a lack of access to jobs with the UN and other NGOs operating in the country. Letoc says the government has ordered humanitarian agencies to halt all of their activities in Torit to allow the governor's committee to finish its investigations.
While the government is in the process of addressing the Monyo Miji complaints, the NGOs should suspend their operations within Torit town for a period of 7 days effective today. Number two, the UN should move back their forces that were deployed within Torit town to UNMISS compound. And number three, the government security forces should increase their forces to man WFP stores inside Torit town.
Letoc says some of the complaints by young men and women in Torit may be genuine, but he says violence is never a solution to a problem. For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Juba.
South Sudanese athletes preparing for the 2020 Olympic Games in Japan say Japanese food lacks suitable nutrients for athletic training. The captain of the South Sudan team says his athletes need food intake recommended by the Anti-Doping and the Olympics Committee. For VOA News, David Monodanga reports from Juba.
Abraham Majuk, captain of the South Sudanese athletics team, who is competing in the 1500-meter races, says South Sudanese athletes will compete in some Japanese domestic tournaments as part of their preparations for the Tokyo 2020. He says COVID-19 has limited athletes from participating in many trial games, since most have been suspended. He says all they need now is supplements recommended by the anti-doping panel and the Olympic Committee.
Right now, we have a very good track that we are training on. We have the trainers. That is only the thing we lack now yet is supplements that athletes normally have. Normally, there are some food supplements that athletes take to supplement their diet and also their training. Most of the athletes always, there are some supplements which even anti-doping or the IAAF recommend athletes to have. But that one is lacking for us. We don't take anything apart from the food that we eat on table.
Majuk says the food his team eats lacks important nutrients. He says it's important that the athletes are provided with these nutrients to supplement whatever their bodies lack.
When you take those, then the food value that you miss in your body is already replaced. Maybe you don't eat most of the food that are rich in calcium or rich in protein. Then when you have a protein supplement, it supplements that food value that you miss. Or when it is calcium or iron that you are lacking in the body, it's already like that.
20-year-old Lucia William, the only female athlete representing South Sudan in the Summer Olympics, who is competing in the 100 and 200 meter races, says she has been struggling to adapt to the Japanese food since her team arrived in Japan in late 2019. She says she has since adapted to the Japanese weather, but still faces difficulty adapting to the local foods. She says sometimes she goes without eating. The sprinter says the food she's getting misses a lot of supplements necessary for athlete stamina.
Some athletes do need to eat those kind of food. You know, you need to eat a kind of food that you can get a benefit, you know, like protein or something you can get a benefit. Especially sprinters tend to eat a lot of food, you know, so that you can get the power to run so fast.
According to a 2019 Nutrition for Athletes guide issued by the International Association of Athletes Federation, and published on the International Journal of Sport Nutrition and Exercise Mobilization, the usefulness of high-fat, low-carbohydrate diets is limited to selected individuals, events, or scenarios in distance events. The report says vegetarian diets can theoretically support athletes' demands, but special attention and good planning are required to ensure adequate intake of energy and specific nutrients that are less abundant or less well absorbed from plant sources, for example, iron. It also says evidence that carbohydrates consumed during exercise can provide an additional benefit via the brain and nervous system. Carbohydrates can stimulate areas of the brain that control pacing and the reward systems via communication with receptors in the mouth and gut. The South Sudanese athletes are being hosted at the Japanese town of Maembashi. They were taken under the Japanese Goodwill Project, which roots for these athletes to train and prepare for the Tokyo 2020 Olympics. Joseph Rencio Tobia, the team's coach, says if they were provided with some money, it will help meet some of the athletes' needs.
Japanese are not giving any service to us about their like money, no. Since we came here, we are just staying like that. Even multi players, there is some other things that I need for a sport, for training, for the players. I don't have anything to help them.
William says the lack of money does not distract her from training for the Olympics. She says being the only female on the team representing South Sudan means she is shouldering a lot of responsibilities.
I'm so proud to represent my beloved country, South Sudan. Also, being the only woman among the team, I have never competed for my hometown or state, but always for other states, to show my love for them, and they are all equal. My message to a girl, especially the young athlete, I want them to keep focused on their training.
William says young girls have a lot of opportunities, but they can only exploit such opportunities if parents can allow their daughters to participate in sports. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga, in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, health officials struggle to get COVID-19 vaccines in Zimbabwe. Find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
in which way are you most like your parents?
In my physical appearance, I'm most like my dad. I do not really look like my mom. She talks a lot, but I also don't like talking.
I look very much like my dad, and I speak like him too. But as for my mother, I don't resemble her at all, but I love her anyway.
I'm like my dad when it comes to giving orders, like leading. And then when it comes to my mom, I'm like her when it comes to cooking, because she has good cooking skills.
Yeah, like my character. People say I'm like my parents when it comes to character. Like the way I behave, the way I socialize, it's just like the way my parents do.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The UN Refugee Agency warns a severe shortage of COVID-19 vaccines in Asia Pacific is putting the lives of refugees and asylum seekers at risk as this deadly disease continues to spread like wildfire throughout the region. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
Countries in the Asia-Pacific region host most of the world's 80 million forcibly displaced people. These countries have pledged to include refugees and asylum seekers into their COVID-19 vaccination programs. However, there are not enough vaccines to go around, so marginalized groups are among the last to benefit from these schemes. In the past 2 months, the World Health Organization has recorded some 38 million COVID-19 cases and more than 500,000 deaths in the Asia-Pacific region, the largest increase globally. The UN Refugee Agency reports refugees who live in overcrowded, unsanitary settings are especially vulnerable to the spread of COVID-19. UNHCR spokesman Andre Mahecic says there has been a huge increase in the number of cases among Rohingya refugees in Cox's Bazar, Bangladesh, since April. He notes nearly 900,000 refugees are living in this densely populated camp, the largest in the world.
As of 31 May, there have been over 1,188 cases confirmed among the refugee population, with more than half of these cases recorded in May alone. We have also seen a worrying increase in the number of COVID-19 cases among refugees and asylum seekers in Nepal, Iran, Pakistan, Thailand, Malaysia, and Indonesia.
Even as much of the world appears to be recovering from the pandemic, aid agencies report fragile health systems in many countries in the region are struggling to cope with the recent surge of cases. They say help is needed to address the scarcity of hospital beds, oxygen supplies, and other essential health facilities and services. Mahajit says efforts are underway to mitigate the spread of the virus, but preventive measures must be bolstered with intensified vaccinations. He says some refugees, including in Nepal, have received their first vaccine dose with supplies provided by WHO's COVAX vaccination sharing facility.
Among the Rohingya refugees in camps in Bangladesh, not a single vaccine has been administered yet, given the scarcity of supplies in the country. The current delays in vaccine shipments brought about by limited supplies to COVAX mean that some of the world's most vulnerable people remain susceptible to the virus.
The UNHCR is appealing for equitable access to COVID-19 vaccines to save lives and curb the devastating impact of the virus in the Asia-Pacific region. It is urging the wealthier countries to donate surplus doses to COVAX for distribution in the poorer countries. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Still on COVID, hundreds of Zimbabweans protested Wednesday about a shortage of COVID-19 vaccines as the country awaits more doses from China. The Zimbabwean government wants to inoculate at least 60% of Zimbabwe's more than 14 million people by the end of the year, but it has struggled to get necessary supplies. For VOA News, Columbus Mavunga reports from Harare.
Claudina Maneni brought her 60-year-old mother to get her second vaccine dose Wednesday at Wilkins Hospital, Zimbabwe's main COVID-19 vaccination center. She was among people who arrived at 4 a.m. but waited in vain for hours. The crowd demanded to see authorities and began to protest, but dispersed upon hearing police were on their way. Maneni says she wonders why Zimbabwe's finance minister Muthuli Ncube has not imported more vaccines to avert shortages. She says that's the problem with freebies. Shortages must affect those who want their first jabs. I hear some private points are now selling it. I will pass through to check. It must be them, government officials, taking vaccines to those places. They are not ashamed at all. There will be chaos here. Why did they call us to come for vaccination? Asked Maneni. On Wednesday, Dr. John Mangwiro, Zimbabwe's junior health minister, refused to comment. Tuesday, he told state-controlled media that government would redistribute COVID-19 vaccines from areas with lower demand to those where uptake has been high to avert current shortages. He said Zimbabwe still had more than 400,000 doses from the 1.8 million COVID-19 vaccines it got from China, Russia, and India since February. Updating media Tuesday about Zimbabwe's COVID-19 situation, Information Minister Monica Mtshangwa was mum about the shortages.
As of 31st May 2021, a total of 675,678 people had received their first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine, and about 344,400 their second dose. This is across the country. Priority is being given to second doses.
After speaking, she did not field questions from reporters. Calvin Fambirai, executive director of Zimbabwe Association of Doctors for Human Rights, says his organization is worried about the COVID-19 vaccine shortages with winter season approaching the region.
The vaccine shortages could have been avoided if there was proper planning on the part of the government. Although we understand the limited availability of vaccines on the markets, we have countries like South Africa which have entered into bilateral deals with manufacturers. We cannot afford to rely on donations. Government must be proactive and secure the vaccines for all Zimbabwe.
Last week, Dr. Machidiso Moeti, the World Health Organization's director for Africa, appealed for at least 20 million vaccines of second doses for everyone who received their first shots on the continent to curtail a potential third wave of COVID-19. Zimbabwe has 38,998 confirmed coronavirus infections and just under 1,600 deaths, according to the Johns Hopkins University, which tracks the global outbreak. Columbus Mavunga for VOA News, Harare, Zimbabwe.
The World Health Organization has approved China's COVID-19 Sinovac biotech vaccine for emergency use. Reuters' Flora Bradley Watson reports.
The World Health Organization approved the emergency use of Sinovac's COVID-19 vaccine on Tuesday. It's the second Chinese vaccine to be given the green light by the WHO after Sinopharm last month. The emergency listing is a signal to national regulators of a product's safety and efficacy. Results showed that Sinovac prevented symptomatic disease in more than half of those vaccinated and prevented severe COVID-19 in 100% of the study population. WHO Director Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus welcomed the vaccine's approval.
The easy storage requirements of CoronaVac make it very suitable for low-resource settings. It's now the eighth vaccine to receive EUL by WHO. It's now crucial to get these life-saving tools to the people that need them quickly.
The emergency listing allows for the vaccine to now be included in COVAX. That's a global program providing vaccines mainly to poor countries struggling with vaccine supplies. The WHO's endorsement is also a major boost for Sinovac after earlier data in clinical trials showed a wide range of efficacy rates. As of the end of May, Sinovac said it had already supplied more than 600 million doses of its vaccine at home and abroad. Many of the doses have gone to countries in Africa, Latin America, and Asia.
And in the United States, President Joe Biden says the nation needs to pull out of all the stops to get more people vaccinated in the coming weeks as he looks towards a self-imposed July 4th deadline. AP correspondent Shaga Megani reports.
The president says the nation's moving toward an all-American summer.
A summer of joy, a summer of get-togethers and celebrations.
But it first needs to pull out all the stops to meet his goal of having 70% of adults partially vaccinated by July 4th. He says public and private partnerships will keep finding ways of getting more people vaccinated.
With incentives and fun rewards.
Ranging from free sports tickets to free drinks. Anheuser-Busch says it'll buy Americans 21 and over a round of beers if the president's goal is met.
That's right. Get a shot and have a beer.
63% of adults have now received at least one vaccine dose. Sagar Magani, Washington.
That's all we prepared for you today. We'd love to hear what you think about this program. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. We'll air your comments every Friday. We now leave you with Dorcas and the song Simbangai Makasi.
Simbangai Makasi. Simbangai Makasi. Soki yotikindai nakokweya. Soki yotikindai nakokweya.
Simbangai Makasi.
We've been listening to Dorcas with the song Simbangai Makasi. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for allowing us into your vehicles, homes, and phones. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.